are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, January 18th, and a golden opportunity this weekend for the Pistons. Talking about that today. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you so much for the listen. We appreciate you guys. Sorry we're getting these yesterday and today's podcast out, you know, late morning as opposed to first thing in the morning as usual. You can imagine sometimes we just have busy weeks here in the life of your host, Matt Shook, and sometimes that pushes things back. And then we figure since we went, you know, a little bit early afternoon, late morning on Thursday, you're going to get that one early Friday, and you know how that's how my mind works. So anyway, that's the deal with that. We try to keep them first thing in the morning as much as we possibly can, but sometimes that just doesn't happen in my life. So anyway, today we're going to tell you everything you need to know about Dwayne Wade's last trip to Detroit tonight with Miami, mostly about the Heat today. Also looking ahead to Saturday's game at home for the Pistons against the Sacramento Kings. And then we're also going to hear my interview with Kalen Lucas from Thursday at Calvin College. I spent some time with the new Pistons two-way player, the former Michigan State star, as he gets ready tonight for his first game with the Grand Rapids Drive. But the Pistons got a big weekend here ahead, 7 o'clock tonight against the Miami Heat at home, 7 o'clock tomorrow against the Sacramento Kings, and then a tough turnaround again after the back-to-back with another one at Washington for a Martin Luther King Day matinee at 2 o'clock Monday afternoon in our nation's capital. That is three games, three tip-offs in a 67-hour span, all of them winnable, two red-letter games. The Pistons are 4-6 in those. I call the red-letter games the important ones, the ones that are up against those teams that are fighting with the Pistons for those last few spots in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And one of those games is going to be this one tonight with Miami. So let's start with the Heat. They're in town during Dwayne Wade's victory lap around the league. And here's why this one is even more important. The Pistons lost the home game against Miami earlier this season in overtime. And this is it for home games with the Heat, a team that will be right in the mix with Detroit for one of the final playoff spots. So you got to get this one because the next two with Miami are going to be on the road in South Beach, a place that the Pistons haven't played well. And we know that head-to-head. And in addition to these being very important games and very important wins for the Pistons and potential losses for the Heat is the tiebreaker, the head-to-head tiebreaker with the Heat. So you got to take care of your home game and then possibly steal one in South Beach to at least get a split in the head-to-head tiebreaker with the Miami Heat. The Pistons now have 10 games until the February 7th trade deadline, which is coming up fast and furious. And the Pistons, looking at the schedule, will be favorites in like five or six of them or so, probably about five of them. And even the games that they won't be favored, at New Orleans, home versus the Milwaukee Bucks, the Clippers, and the Denver Nuggets, those are the tough ones. Those are the real tough for the four of these next 10. And the rest are considerably easier than that. And even those, New Orleans on the road, home versus Milwaukee, home versus the Clippers, home versus Denver, those are winnable games. Now, certainly the Pistons don't win all four of those games, but you'd like to get one, possibly two. Those aren't, you know, at Golden State type of games where you just chalk it up as an L and move on. Although, you know, it's a bad example because the Pistons have won at Golden State and have a, you know, a chance all the time against the Warriors. But this 10-game stretch could be a 6-4 stretch here, or maybe 7-3 heading into the deadline, or maybe you want to get optimistic and think it's even better than that. But at 19-24, this stretch here, this 10 games right before the trade deadline, could get you a couple games from 500, maybe even well, it's not going to get you to 500, but it's, you know, real close to that that 500 mark, maybe back in the top eight of the playoff seeding. And the Pistons right now, who are, by the way, 1.5 games behind Charlotte for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference after the Hornets beat Sacramento last night on Thursday night at home. But Miami, they're coming to town rested. They have not played since Tuesday in Milwaukee. They got pounded there. But before that, they had home wins against the reeling Boston Celtics and the reeling Memphis Grizzlies. So not really a team coming in hot or cold, speaking of Miami, but definitely rested for sure. This will be the first of two of a back-to-back for them, just like Detroit They're going to be playing at Chicago on Saturday night. They're in the middle, the start really, of a stretch of a bunch of road games for them. So this one feels a little bit season-defining for them too. A team with huge questions, you know, present and future-wise, just like the Pistons too. Miami actually has the highest payroll in the league by $11 million for this season, according to Hoops Hype. So, you know, the fans of the Miami Heat have to be thinking a lot like some of you guys and myself at times, thinking, what's the point? What are we even doing here? Strip this whole thing down. It's kind of a mess without the superstars. And not a team with a very clear path forward for how they get much better and how they move out of this middle of the class of the Eastern Conference. But speaking more about the Heat, Justice Winslow, who Pistons fans may remember from the 2015 NBA draft, he's had a little bit of a rebirth this year as his lottery cohort, Stanley Johnson, has been stuck in the mud. But Winslow has been playing point guard most of the season since Goran Dragic has missed most of the season. His latest injury being a December knee surgery that's got him out for probably another month. Goran Dragic has only played 14 games this season. But Winslow's been stepping up really well, also shooting 38% from three. So he's making those strides that Stanley Johnson isn't. Right now, like I said, Miami's—they got killed on Tuesday by the Bucks, but Winslow's kind of, I guess, stepping up as a leader a little bit. Here's how he was quoted in the story by the Associated Press after the loss to Milwaukee. Winslow says, "There were a couple of stretches that we became disconnected from each other and the game. Guys looked like they didn't want to be here when we got down by 20, but we can't have that. We have to keep that competitive edge." End quote. That sounds like would be alarming, but in this league and this season of just, you know, crazy headlines every day, everywhere you look, that's not that alarming. It's just something that players say after games with their team. I'm not going to say that Miami is in disarray or anything like that, but we know that Miami has an old school traditional center like Detroit and Hassan Whiteside. So it's always interesting to see how Andre Drummond does in these games. The best player right now for Miami is this season, really, is Josh Richardson. He's been playing well, but he's got a little bit of knee tendonitis going on, battling through that. His scoring is down lately, so you can kind of see that he's ailing a little bit in the numbers. But the Heat, they've just got all sorts of wings, but none of them are guys you feel really, really good about, maybe other than Josh Richardson. There are a lot of question marks there. Between the two and three spots, you got guys like Josh Richardson, you got Dwayne Wade, Tyler Johnson, Rodney Magruder, Deion Waiters, Derek Jones Jr., Wayne Ellington. So guys just like the Pistons where they do one thing well but maybe not the other thing, kind of maddening to fans at times. And speaking of Dwayne Wade, he's coming off the bench all season. He's getting 13.8 points per game. I did an episode during the summer when he announced that his retirement was coming up after this year. Kind of about his in-depth history against the Pistons. So I'll link to that on social media. We won't get into that too much. But like I said, 13.8 points per game is his best year since his Chicago season 2 years ago. And we'll see how he plays in his last game in Detroit. And then we'll see if he exchanges jerseys with anyone, perhaps with Blake Griffin, although there's not a lot of shared history with those guys. But we saw Blake giving his jersey and vice versa to Darius Slay of the Lions on the other night, Wednesday, I guess, against the Orlando Magic. So maybe we'll see if something like that happens after the game. For Wade this year, the percentages are, you know, nothing jumps out of the board at you as far as him playing well or not so well. Obviously, a liability on defense with his tired legs. He's shooting free throws in the 60s percentage-wise for the first time in his career, which is pretty weird. So that might be some old tired legs going on there for Dwayne Wade. But the Pistons are 1.5 or 2-point favorites tonight, depending on your flavor of sportsbook. So that's it. I mean, a huge game for the Pistons tonight. We'll see how they respond. But up next, we're going to talk about Sacktown, as the Sacramento Kings will be coming to town on Saturday night. But the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. Make sure to follow us on those platforms at Locked On NBA Net. Those are the handles for both of those platforms. So make sure you follow the Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. Yes, sir! Later on, we're going to hear from Kalen Lucas, the former Michigan State player who will suit up in the Jackie Moon jersey of the Flint Tropics tonight for Grand Rapids against Fort Wayne. The newest two-way player for the Pistons. Got an exclusive interview with him that you'll enjoy listening to. But Sacramento coming to town to play the Pistons on Saturday night in what will be the second of a back-to-back effort for the Detroit Pistons, who are 2-3 on the second halves of back-to-backs so far this season, with that latest game in that stretch being the loss last week in Sacramento. Kind of unfair that the Pistons have had to go back-to-back second halves both times against Sacramento this season, who are truly one of the dregs of the leagues. And I know that they're playing well. They're actually one game above 500 right now, but still a team that Detroit should beat at home. So we will see. Win against the Pistons last week for the Kings was the start of actually a three-game winning streak for Sacramento, which kind of is getting their season a little bit back on track after they kind of fell off a little bit at the start of the year here too. But that three-game win streak was snapped last night, and then they when they lost Thursday night against the Charlotte Hornets, they got blown out there in the Queen City. But Saturday will be the second of a grueling six-game road trip for Dave Yeager's team. So the kind of a season-defining stretch, and I know I'm saying this about a lot of teams lately, the Pistons and Miami and Sacramento, but that's where these teams are at. When you're looking at the trade deadline coming up soon, you're thinking of the future and also whether this year is worth salvaging or worth putting some pieces into, and to find out what you got going forward. Now, what you got for Sacramento is pretty good in terms of the young talent. Buddy Hield is getting 20 points per game and 5 rebounds, shooting 45% from three-point land. Good for 7th place in the NBA for three-point percentage. And you know who's first, by the way? No surprise, it's Curry, of course. But not that one. It's Seth Curry, little brother, little bro of Portland, is shooting 48.7% from three. And his brother, maybe you've heard of him, Steph Curry, is actually 4th in the league in three-point percentage. But who's 5th in the league? That's another interesting name that popped off of this list. At 45.7%, who is 5th in the league? That is Derrick Rose of the Minnesota Timberwolves. It does click for some shooters if you're getting frustrated with your favorite NBA player about their struggles from three-point land. A couple other names that jumped out of that list as I was going through some research here. A couple of former Pistons in the top 10, Marcus Morris at 8th in the league, Tobias Harris at 9th in the league, and the highest Pistons player, of course, is Reggie Bullock, who is 30th in the league. So some food for thought right there that will ruin your breakfast or lunch or whatever you eat that for food-wise. But De'Aaron Fox, second-year point guard for Sacramento, he's getting 17 points and 7 assists this season. Kind of a breakout for him. Now, it's disappointing because, in my opinion, we didn't even get a real look at the Sacramento team last week because of the Pistons' complete no-show on the road. I don't even know if they're actually good. I really don't know. All I took from that game was that the Pistons sucked. And then as far as Sacramento, all those good players, Fox and Hield, you know, their top young players, Cauley-Stein, Bogdanovich, and those guys kind of took the night off. I mean, they had about 20 minutes plus a piece, but didn't have to play in crunch time, nothing like that. It's a team. Let's put it this way: Iman Shumpert is the reserve off the bench, kind of the veteran guy, and he tried to run into the Portland locker room the other night, apparently after a beef with Yusuf Nurkic, who next level trash talking by Nurkic, by the way. After that, after the game, Nurkic said, quote, "I'm not going to worry about it. He's going into retirement soon. I'm not going to worry about a guy who's going into retirement soon." That's just good trash talk, end quote, by the way, for Nurkic there. But again, the spotlight is on Andre Drummond here. I thought he was outplayed by Willie Cauley-Stein. Well, it's not I thought. He clearly was outplayed by Willie Cauley-Stein last week. Another traditional center, a guy who's been, you know, in trade rumors with Drummond over all these years. I'm sure you've put a few of those together in the trade machine yourself. You certainly have heard about the Pistons' interest in Willie Cauley-Stein over the years. And then Monday, after Saturday night's tussle with the young Willie Cauley-Stein, Andre Drummond's got a bit of a black hole at center there with Dwight Howard out for Washington. The Wizards are starting Thomas Bryant. They're giving minutes, big minutes to Jan Mahimny off the bench. So, I mean, it's all right in front of Andre Drummond for this weekend, these three games. $25.4 million this year, max player for the Pistons. We talked yesterday about the recent criticism from Zach Lowe on the Bill Simmons podcast. So, yeah, Andre Drummond's time is right now to step up and make it happen for the Pistons. And there's really not much else to say about the Kings. They're the Kings. This is the Pistons' time. You know, go get a season split with Sacramento. It can be done. It's a home game, I know, but the Pistons have actually shown that they've played pretty well on some of these back-to-back, second half of back-to-back games. The wins were at home against Golden State, so we saw that that can be done against a very good team. And the other win was at Memphis in a game that they kind of needed and were on the road. And that, so it can be done. It's not like these back-to-backs are something impossible. And then, again, a tough 67-hour stretch of three games tipping off in that short a time as the Pistons go into Washington. And if you go get both these wins, you go 2-0 this weekend, you go into Washington with House's money there, maybe you get one of those. Again, I'm not expecting the Pistons to go 3-0, but I'm thinking this could be a 2-1 stretch for them, kind of right the ship a little bit. And if you have to lose one, lose the Sacramento game, because if obviously the losses to Washington and Miami prove further dividends than just the Pistons win there. So if you had to pick two to win, go ahead and win tonight and also Monday afternoon. But again, the clock is ticking on this team this season. The clock is ticking until February 7th when the front office has to make some of those tough decisions. I've talked about it here on the show, how the Pistons should probably try to trade Reggie Bullock and look to trade Ish Smith if the price is right. I think that the price will be right for Reggie Bullock, and they should take the highest offer that they get, probably in terms of a draft pick or maybe a package of draft picks if we're talking about a couple second-rounders, maybe a young player in there. But really, the goal should be to get a low first-round pick. I don't know if that's possible. I'll get into that very soon. Hopefully early next week we'll do a big topic on the trades for comparable players. I know that the Justin Holiday trade for the Bulls netted a nice return there. Looking at the Kyle Korver trade earlier this season. So, you know, three-pointers, guys in the wings, guys that can do a few things for you for good teams. What can you get for a guy like Reggie Bullock? So we will see. If you got some thoughts on that, send us a voicemail. Call us at 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Looking to lean on you guys for some of your opinions, what you think about some things we talk on the show, and in particular, the Reggie Bullock trade possibility. What do you think the return should be or could be for Reggie Bullock and the Pistons at the trade deadline? But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males and more education and earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor Locked On Pistons. Go ahead and email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Up next, we're going to hear from Kalen Lucas, the former Michigan State player, who will suit up in the Jackie Moon jersey from the Flint Tropics of the Will Ferrell semi-pro movie from 2008. That'll be tonight for the Grand Rapids Drive against the Fort Wayne Mad Ants coming to town to the Deltaplex. Check that one out if you're out on the west side of the state. And also, Kalen Lucas, the newest two-way player for the Pistons. My interview with him is coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
What was the last couple days been like for you? I mean, I know this is not completely unusual for you to move around and all that kind of stuff, but what's it been like?
Man, it's been it's been crazy. It's been, you know what, it kind of feel like when I first signed with Michigan State. That's kind of what the feeling feel like, man. I've been getting a lot of calls, a lot of texts. Mm-hmm. My family has too, so it kind of put me back in the mind frame of, you know, when I first signed with Michigan State. Just a lot of support from just all of Michigan, whether it's Detroit, whether it's Flint, Saginaw, wherever. You know, I've just been getting a lot of love.
Mm-hmm. Where were you? Were you on a road trip with Stockton, or were you back home there? Or
no, I was just on a road trip in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yeah, up in Utah. So I got the call when we were still in Sacramento.
Okay.
But we was at the airport. So the deal and the contracts and all that didn't go through until I was in Utah. Mm-hmm. So then I had to go right back, fly right back to Sacramento, grab my stuff, all my clothes, and then was on the next flight.
Did you get to Detroit yesterday?
Yeah, I got to Detroit yesterday at like 4:30 and went straight to the game, straight to Little Caesars.
Did they work you out or did you just talk to them yesterday at the game?
I didn't have to work out, but I did work out. I mean, it was like, you know, you got time to do pretty much whatever you want to do. So I'm like, hey, end of the day, let me get a workout in. So I had somebody just put me through a conditioning workout. So that went well. I met everybody. I'm real familiar pretty much with the team already. You know, with some of the guys I didn't either played against at AAU or went to, you know, Jordan Classic with me and Blake. It felt good to actually go to a system where, you know, I know guys as well.
Did you play on the team with Blake at the Jordan Classic or against
him? No, we wasn't on the same team. We was against each other. Yeah, we was against each other, but we was real cool.
What did he say to you?
Man, as soon as he seen me, he like, hey, what's up, man? What's up, man? I'm glad you here, man. Congratulations. So we just, you know, started talking, and, you know, we started talking about, because, you know, him and Darrell Summers was roommates at the Jordan Classic. So, you know, he asked about, you know, Darrell, how he was doing. Asked where I played last year, and, you know, we just... just talk, man. Just kicked it.
Yeah. Is it easy for you to name all the places you've been since Michigan State, or does that take a lot of thought?
No, it don't take a lot of thought. I played in Greece, in Athens, with Olympiakos. Then I went to Turkey, played for Banvit, played for Ted College. And overseas, I also played for Jerusalem and in Israel last season.
And then around the G League and D League Iowa.
For Iowa a couple years. Got traded, played with Erie for half of the year. So yeah, it's been kind of been going back and forth from G League and overseas for since Michigan State days.
Did you grab something from each of those places overseas? Do you have like mementos of the memories of Greece and Israel and all the places?
Man, for sure I do, just because it's different. It's not, you know, the culture is different. The basketball is different. You know, it's more, you know, slow pace, but you just learn a lot, man. You know, for me being pretty much a 4-year starter at Michigan State, then going overseas where they really don't care if you start or you come off the bench, as long as, you know, you're playing for the team. So I just learned a lot, man. And I feel like the most I learned over there was no matter if you starting or you playing 30 minutes or 5 minutes, you got to make the most of your minutes and you always got to be ready. I mean, it's professional basketball, so that's definitely what I learned.
Did you hear from Coach Izzo the last couple of days?
Yeah, I talked to Izzo, I think, 2 days ago. I told him that I accepted the two-way, but he thought that I was thinking about the two-way contract. So he called me like, man, you better take the two-way. What you doing? Yeah. I'm like, no, coach, I took it. I took it. He like, hell yeah. He was so pumped up and excited. But me and Iz been talking like this whole journey, man. Two summers ago, I actually stayed with him I lived with him the whole summer. And I was just working out with the team. I was helping the young guys out at the time. Bridges are still there. My bad. Cassius, Tumtum. So me and Iz had a good relationship since I left.
I can imagine over all these years, has there been a time where you thought, you know, you had the one game in the NBA that maybe you weren't going to get back? Has there been some, or maybe you're going to step away from the game at some point? Has there been things like that, or have you always been positive and knowing that you're going to get back to
I mean, I'd be lying if I said I've been positive the whole time, especially, you know, the things, you know, me tearing my Achilles when I was at a high point, you know, high level in my career up at Michigan State. So, I mean, I feel like it's just all about, man, you know, you got to try to just be positive at all times and keep grinding, and you know, that's something I always did my whole life, you know, especially, you know, my size, you know, only being, you know, 6'1", you gotta always prove yourself, you gotta always just compete. So that's something I've always been doing.
I mean, do you ever think about that, about how much, you know, you're on the top of the Big Ten, you ripped the Achilles at the end of your junior year? Do you ever think about what would have happened if it was the worst injury, maybe the worst possible time for you too?
Yeah, I feel like my first year overseas is when my first 2 years overseas is probably when I thought about it the most. Like, man, like I tore my Achilles, this happened, but, you know, eventually you got to move forward, so move past it. So I feel like I did a good job with doing that, but, I mean, it's still in the back of my head. Of course it is, but I feel like, you know, things always happen, you know. And whatever reason that was for that to happen, you know, everybody's path is different. So with that, you know, being said, you know, that's all I've been doing is grinding. I could have stopped. Mm-hmm. Plenty of times I probably could have stopped, or the guys that probably been in my position that would have stopped and would have broke down, but I never did. And, you know, I got a good family and good family support where, you know, they made sure I kept going.
What's your memories of the one NBA game you did have about 4 years ago now? Played a few minutes.
That day was a memory to remember. They called me, I think practice just ended. And I had to actually catch a private jet. They flew me on a private jet by myself from Des Moines to Toronto, but it was a blizzard. So it was like we couldn't land. So I was just like in the air for a little bit longer. So once I landed, the game had like just almost started. So once I landed, I ran down the tunnel, and a trainer was right there on my jersey. So I had to put all my gear on at the tunnel, and I had to just run right on the court. As soon as I ran on the court, the game had just started. Coach Jaeger was like, "Kalen, be ready. I'm playing you today. I'm playing you, K. Be ready." And it was cool too, because it was like a little ceremony for Vince Carter. So, you know, it was cool to, you know, to kind of witness that, because he did a lot for Toronto.
Is that when they did a video tribute?
Yeah, they did the whole video tribute, and it was cool because, you know, Vince, he's a good guy. He definitely helped me when I was with Memphis a lot, so I took a lot from him. Mm-hmm.
Is it in a small way kind of tough now that you're here, you're on the two-way, you're still in a way, you know, waiting for the call to play in Detroit, hopefully, and you want to play well here? Does that make it kind of it's great news and you're happy, but at the same time, you're still a little bit anxious about what might be
happening? Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's great news, man. I feel like it's a step, you know, it's a step moving forward. But, I mean, I know, like, I haven't done anything yet. You know, I still know I still gotta work, you know. The mindset doesn't change. If anything, my mindset is to go harder. So, I mean, my mindset is just to, you know, to keep pushing. I mean, two-way is great. I'm thankful for it, but at the same time, I still haven't done anything yet.
And you'll be wearing the jersey the same as the great Will Ferrell tomorrow night, which is
facts.
Probably your dream, right?
Hey, hey, low key, man, it's gonna be kind of funny seeing us all out there with that Will Ferrell jersey. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You gonna think back about some of the times, like I said, some of the bad times that when you get to, you know, back in Detroit or even tomorrow night here, that you know, you take a moment to reflect on that kind of stuff, or are you just all business?
I'm not thinking of no bad times of anything. I'm thinking of all like the good times, the good memories, and like I said, I played here before. I think when I was with Iowa Energy, I played here a couple times. So every time I came here, it's always, you know, a good show, you know, good fans, a great crowd. They always support me. But far as like me thinking bad, nah, it ain't no bad thinking, man.
You got family coming in tomorrow night? Friends or anything?
I mean, probably, you know, some friends or something probably, you know, come. But I mean, of course, I know my family eventually they'll come out here and support me. I'm not sure if they're coming tomorrow, but I know they'll come out.
Well, thanks, Kalen. Appreciate it. Yes.
And that was Michigan State's Kalen Lucas of the Grand Rapids Drive as he prepares for his opener tonight against the Fort Wayne Mad Ants of the Deltaplex. Check that out if you're on the west side of Michigan. And also check out my story that I did for the Detroit News on Kalen Lucas. That's online at detnews.com right now as I tape this on Friday late morning. And also it'll be in print on Saturday, so pick up a copy of the Detroit News. Yes, they still sell print newspaper copies, so go ahead and check that out so that you and my mom are not the only people buying the Detroit News on Saturday. I kid. Of course, people still buy the print edition of the Detroit News, but maybe not a lot of the listeners of the podcast. Maybe not a lot of crossover there. But do check that out. We would appreciate that. And Maybe send a tweet about how much you enjoyed that article so that the editors, my bosses at the Detroit News would appreciate that as well. But this is your host, Matt Shook, saying enjoy some Pistons basketball this weekend. Red letter weekend, a big one. I'm going to try to put out Monday's podcast hopefully earlier on Sunday, maybe like midday on Sunday. That's the plan for now. We'll see how that goes. But just so that there's some breathing room before the 2 o'clock tip with the Washington Wizards, we'll look ahead to that game on Monday's episode as well. But again, this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for joining us today and have a good weekend, everyone.